Your Bibles, the book of John, chapter number 6. Brother Junior was talking about moving. He related some things to a movie, The Wizard of Oz. And I was listening to him as he was relating a couple of things that he could use to bring out a truth in that movie. Of course, we know there's a lot of things that wasn't truth in that movie. But I was also thinking about the message here. I don't remember what the name of the movie was, but I remember seeing clips of it several times this guy, I believe he's Jack Nicholson, someone says you can't handle the truth. And I got thinking about, that would probably be a good title for this message. Can you handle the truth? You know, the farther we get into the Bible and farther we get in things, sometimes we can't handle the truth. And if you look at this chapter without reading the whole chapter, I do want to just lay out a couple of things real quickly before I read the last few verses. But notice, if you would, in verse number 2 of chapter 6. Notice that a great multitude followed him because, that's talking about Jesus, because they had seen him heal people with disease. And they'd come over and there was a great crowd. You read on, and there was 5,000. He set them down, and he took five barley loaves and two fishes, and he fed the 5,000. He gathered up 12 fragments or baskets of fragments. Then he sent his disciples over, and they went, and they got in the midst of a storm. And he come walking on the water, and he came to them. The next day, in verse 22, the next day, the people began to look for Jesus. And then in verse number 24, the Bible says, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there near his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Now notice, isn't it good that people are looking for Jesus? The only problem is sometimes they're looking for the wrong thing. They're looking for the wrong reason. And then the Bible says in verse 26, and Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. So Jesus here, he told him, he said, you know, you're seeking me, not because of the miracles, but because you believe in me being the Messiah, but you're seeking me because you want to be fed, because of the blessings you get out of it. Now, if you look in verse 28, then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And then Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Then in verse number 30, they wanted to see a sign. That was the Jews. They always had to see a sign that they could believe. And they said, well, Moses, when he had the children, God sent manna down from heaven, bread from heaven. Then he continued to tell them that he was the bread of heaven, sent down from heaven. And so they didn't like it very well. He told them they would have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And they were offended. As a matter of fact, pick up with me, if you would, in your Bibles, and notice, if you would, in verse number 59. 58 will say this, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things saith he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he saith unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? And it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are alive. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, I say unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, let me get a couple things in your mind. Now, notice that there's many people referred to as a disciple. A disciple was a student, a pupil, a learner. In that time, many people was rabbis, teachers, and masters in Israel at that time. And so they recognized that Jesus was a great teacher, and plus he was performing miracles. And so what they wanted to do was they began to follow him, and they began to listen as he would teach them. Now you've got to remember, just because they were following him and called a disciple, they were not Christians as we consider Christians. They were not all saved. They were not all believers. And so they followed him because they wanted to hear. Now imagine how the disciples felt as they were following Jesus, these 12. They were following him, and boy, these great crowds would begin to gather around Jesus. I've often said this many times, when you study the joy of the Lord, he never spoke of his joy one time when he was being surrounded and thronged by many crowds, when he was popular. But this time he was very popular at the beginning of this chapter, and he's come along and there's 5,000 there that came to hear him, what he had to say. And he set them down because they were hungry and because as he was teaching, and he fed them. And through a miracle, he took the loaves and fishes and fed all 5,000. So they got to see him perform miracles. And not only that, they were also wanting him to be their king. They were thinking as the Jews, and they were thinking, man, this is the Messiah. He's going to come and save us out of the Russian rule. He's going to be able to establish and lift up the Jews again. And Israel's going to be the primary country in the world. That was what's on their mind. When they was wanting him to be king, that was what they was wanting. They was wanting free from the Roman rule. Now, the disciples, you can imagine how they were feeling. They was looking out, seeing all these people and everybody loving Jesus and all these things. And they was probably thinking to themselves, man, well, we are in the right place doing the right thing with all this crowd and all these people loving Jesus, our master. But then Jesus spoke up. Man, did he speak up? Then he told him, you're following me for what you can get out of me. Can I say this? There's some people just comes to church for what they can get out of it. Some people just comes, sometimes I'm sitting here and the first thing to do is say, can I talk to the pastor? Usually I know what that means. They want something. And usually they want money. And sometimes even when you try to offer them and help them with some other way, they just want money. And but anyway, some people are like that. They just think that the church is something or the Lord is just something. Try to get what they can get out of them. Not only that, but also he's told them that he had came down from heaven. Well, they said, we know his parents, Mary and Joseph. He didn't come down from heaven. Because if he come down from heaven, he have to be a deity. He have to be God. He have to be Son of God. And of course, then he told them he was the Son of God. Boy, that didn't sit well. Then he told them that they couldn't follow him unless the Spirit drew him and Father drew him. Then he told them that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and that offended them. Now, let me say something. Now, follow with me a minute. Give me your attention a few minutes because I want you to think about this. Brother Rick was talking to me. Usually December, January, and February are the hardest months we have in the church. We have it for several reasons. One is, and of course, he's a treasurer, and he has to pay bills and pay the missionaries and do this and do that, and none of that stuff ever stops. But a lot of times during December, people, and some of you are faithful, giving all the way through, but sometimes people are sick. And a lot of times during the wintertime, we have a lot of people sick, not here. Well, some of them miss week after week after week after week, but the bills never stop coming. Sometimes people go through Christmas and they say, well, we spent too much. And then all of a sudden, the tithes and offerings don't come. Now, I've never been one to get up and preach about that and beat upon it. I do believe you ought to give tithes and offerings to the church. I believe the Bible teaches it all the way through the Bible. But my point is this. Brother Rick told me, he said, it gets really tough during this time of year. Because it does, doesn't it, brother? Sometimes it gets where you just have to, hey, just taking us to the very end. But God has provided. But what I'm trying to tell each of you is this. You need to understand. Sometimes Chris and I will be gone, but we always try to leave our check behind and do those things because we think, because we realize that the lights are still on, the missionary support still goes out, the bills still come in. And the amazing thing is, if half the church quits giving offerings, the electric company don't give it to us for free. It still comes. But my point is this. The farther that you go in teaching people the will of God, the farther you get trying to teach people into the work of God and the Word of God, the more you have disappeared. As pastors and you church members, you've seen it. Sometimes it builds up. Sometimes it goes down. Sometimes it's just overflowing. Then sometimes you wonder where everybody went. But Jesus here, and somebody said, well, it's the will of God. And sometimes people look at the crowd and they say, man, this got to be the will of God. The amazing thing was, Jesus didn't see it that way at all. He said, you know, you get two or three people there in my name, I'll be there. Sometimes we had 5,000 people. He said, the only reason you're here is because of what you can get out of me. And so what you need to understand is this, that sometimes we can't handle the truth. Because Jesus, he spoke words here in 55 through 61, words of offense. You know, to hear some of this modern day preaching, you think that Jesus never said something offensive. And you hear everybody in the world justifying that Jesus, all he does is love you, accept you, and he'll take you to heaven regardless of what you do, who you are, what you claim, what you believe. No such thing. When you get studying the truth teaches nothing of the same. Jesus said he was a rock of offense. Jesus said he came to bring a sword between a mother and her daughter, between families. In other words, he said, my truth, not everybody's going to receive my truth. And so they're not going to hang on. But he also spoke in verse 62 through 65, he said he spoke words of spirit and life. In other words, the words that he spoke brought life, and they were of the spirit. Then also we find it brought about to Peter a confession of who Jesus was. We'll get into a minute. And then also in verse 70 and 71, we find he spoke words of sovereignty. In other words, he was God because he knew everything that was going to go on. He knew what people was thinking. He knew what was going to happen. And he knew that Judas was a devil from the beginning, even when he chose him. He knew what Judas's end was going to be. Now, looking at this, let's look at truth. And like I said, not everybody can handle the truth. We see as Jesus began to teach and tell them the truth, that he was bread sent down from heaven, and he began to tell some things, they begin to doubt and get very hostile. A little bit before, they was wanting to make him king. Now they're getting mad. Now they're getting upset. They're hearing things. What are they hearing? Truth. Now, why did they have such a change of heart? Well, look back, if you would, in verse 29 real quickly. And notice in verse 29, Jesus said to them, this is a work of God that you what? Believe on him. In other words, he said, you need to believe that salvation is only through me. Now, can I tell you this? I don't care who you are and how good you think you are. There's only one way of being saved. That's Jesus. Now, if you don't go through him, you can't go. Now, not only that, but also notice in verse 32. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you true bread from heaven. In other words, he says, I'm the Son of God that came down from heaven. Notice he said, my Father did this. Now, the Jews were not used to looking at God as Father at all. And when he said Father, they knew exactly what he was saying. He was a Son of God. Now, look here. They not only got upset because he said he was the only way of salvation, they got upset because he said he was Son of God. But now, can I tell you something? I don't believe you can be saved unless you believe Jesus is Son of God. I believe you got to believe that he's Son of God, that he come down from heaven, being God. He was the only man that could ever live without sin because he was God. He was God-man. And he died upon the cross of Calvary for us as a substitute, as a propitiation for our sins. But also, if you look in verse 35 and then read verse 49 on down through, I'm not, but note 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In other words, you read on down, he says, I am superior to the bread that came down from Moses to the children of Israel, the manna. He said, God sent manna from heaven there, but I am superior to that. Boy, that ruffled up the feathers of those Jews. Not only that, but he also said, if you look in verse number 35 on down through 40, he said, but in verse 36, he said, but I say unto you, that he also that have seen me and believe not, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, and this is Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He also preached that salvation came as a matter of fact, faith. Now notice up in verse number 28, they asked Jesus what they could do to work, do the works of God. And he told them that they had to believe upon him. And believing upon him is what brought everlasting life. You know, over and over and over, we have this idea, and everybody struggles sometimes when you struggle with salvation. This is what you struggle with. You struggle with because you look at you. When you have salvation, it's because you believed upon Jesus, and you've got to understand, it's not you that your salvation is built upon, it's him. It's the fact that you believed upon him. Last but not least, he also said in verse 44, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me do what? Draw him. In other words, he said, no, you can't come to Father unless he draws him. Now he goes on in verse number also, in verse number 65, therefore I say unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. In other words, he says, you have to be, it has to be given and you have to be drawn. Now listen to me very carefully. A lot of people think they just live their life any way they want to, and somewhere at the end of life, then they're just going to call upon the Lord and he's just going to marvelously save them. That's not the way it works. Jesus said you can't come unless God's drawing you. Therefore, if you hear his voice, you better heed to it. Today, if you hear his voice, you might not hear it tomorrow. You know, I wondered about those 17 teenagers. I wondered how many of them were saved. I wonder how many of them had heard the word of God. I wonder how many of them had came. I wonder if there was any of the 17 that had said, that had heard the word of God and thought, well, someday down the road, I will be saved. But can I tell you something? When you hear the truth, you either got to receive it or reject it. Some people try to change the truth, but you can't change truth. Truth is truth. Any time you try to change truth, it's a lie. It's no longer truth. So therefore, why do you want to believe a lie? Somebody said, you know, even when I was lost, Brother Rick was talking about in Sunday school, he was talking about being lost after he made a profession of faith at age 9 until 19. Said the scariest time of his life. Even before I got saved, I knew what truth was. I'd heard it preached and I believed it. I just didn't believe it to the saving of my soul. But even after I got saved, there's times when I've gone away from truth, but it didn't change the fact it was truth. I know that the Bible's truth. Amen. I know the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Whether I do it or not, it doesn't matter. It's not based upon my actions, my beliefs, and my thoughts. It's truth. And the word of God's going to stand whether I stand on it or not. Whether I do it or not, it's still truth.
Amen.
And whether you do it or not, it's still truth.
Amen.
Now listen to me. Only the truth can set you free. If you're not willing to seek the truth, you'll never be set free. You say, well, preacher, I like to be told what I want to hear. Well, a lot of people in Jesus' time, he kept telling me, he said, you got ears, but you can't hear. You just want to hear what you hear instead of hearing the truth. Can you handle the truth? Boy, I tell you what, sometimes, how many of you have ever opened up a Bible or you've ever heard a message preached and the truth was like a sharp two-edged sword just cut you all to pieces? Well, I don't like that, but it does it. And, you know, sometimes I say, well, I don't like the truth because it cuts me. But the question is, can you handle the truth? But I'm going to tell you something. If I'm going to sit and listen to somebody preach, you know what I want to hear? I want to hear truth. I can go anywhere and hear lies. If I want to hear lies, I just turn TV on. I hear lies all day long there. Go anywhere in the world, you can find lies. But there's not many places you can find truth anymore. But I want to hear truth. Now, notice here, why does people reject the truth? Some misunderstands it. Nicodemus, he thought you had to go back in the mother's womb that Jesus was thinking about when he talked about the second birth. And Jesus explained, no, you're born of the Spirit. The woman at the well thought he was talking about literal water. He said, no, the water I talk about, you never thirst again. Some people just misunderstands it. And I tell you what, when you talk to people out in the world today, and you talk to people even in this community, a whole lot of people are really confused about what the Bible teaches. Truth. They misunderstand it. And some people just are opposed to it. They hate the truth. These people hated the fact that Jesus claimed to be a deity. He claimed to be God. They hated that. And can I say this? A lot of people want to have Jesus, but they don't want to have God. They don't want to believe that God is a judging God. God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. They don't want to believe that. And they don't understand that Jesus was Jehovah. He was Jehovah God. And therefore, that's why many times in the Bible, it says that you got to believe upon the Lord, a capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah. And so therefore, many people oppose it. They also oppose the fact that he said he was going to have to die and give his life, be offered up for their sins. They oppose that. They opposed his lordship. They didn't like truth. They didn't like the claims of Jesus. And can I tell you this? There's a whole lot of people who don't like the truth about Jesus today. They're believing and preaching and teaching everywhere you turn. They're teaching something. Brother Junior was talking about, he went to a funeral. And said the guy who preached funeral, he got up there and he made this statement. He said, we will all go see Brother Bob. We will all go up in heaven and eat with Brother Bob. Not even sure Brother Bob's there. Much less everybody else. And most of the time when you go to a funeral, you'll ever rarely hear anybody anymore preach anything, but everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's walking streets of gold. Jesus said, there'll be few that find it. Many there be that walks a wide, broad road that leads to destruction. Folks, can we handle the truth? We have to face the truth. We need to quit preaching that everybody that claims to be saved is saved. That's not the case. But some are blind to truth. The devil is busy trying to blind people to truth. And he doesn't want you to see the truth because of what the truth does. Now, it's amazing when you see what kind of deflection we have of the people here. They went from 5,000 and probably even more, but they had 5,000. And all of a sudden, Jesus turns around after he gets through teaching this and he looks and nobody's left but 12. I feel pretty good now when I lose one or two. That's not too bad. Jesus lost 4,988, somewhere close to that. And so all of a sudden, they were gone. Now, can I say this? There's a lot of quitters. A lot of quitters. Now, you got to remember, just because they were disciples doesn't mean that they were saved. Why do they quit? Well, sometimes because they worry. They worry about what everybody else thinks. They worry afraid what Jesus might ask them to do. And so they quit. Some quit because of the world. Demas was drawn back out into the world. Some quits because of the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh Father but by me. They don't like the way. When Israel come from Egypt, the Bible said there was a straight shot, but God took them a difficult way. God doesn't always take you the easy way. Some people don't like the way. They go through trial too, and you know what they do? They quit. Not only that, some quit because they wait. They think they'll wait till later on. Everything get better later on. They put it off. Well, one of these days down the road, I'm going to get all this stuff right. Some quit because they just won't. They won't accept. They won't do what needs to be done. And so here the Bible relates to us quitters, people that quit. Jesus said he looked, and many of the disciples left and never walked with him at all. They quit him. 5,000, all of a sudden all of them quit. He told them truth, they couldn't handle truth. Then he not only had quitters, but if you look in verse 70, 71, Jesus said he had 12, and one of them was a devil. He had pretenders. You know, whenever he was sitting there eating the Last Supper, what we call the Last Supper, he was eating the Passover Supper before he ate the Last Supper with the disciples. He was telling them that one would deceive them. And they were asking, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? They didn't know which one it was. They didn't realize what Judas was. Now, Jesus knew it from the beginning. But the other disciples didn't. Now, Judas stuck with them for a while, but he was pretending. He didn't have it. He was pretending. But then you see, had followers. Now notice, if you would, in verse 67, 68, before I close, stay here a minute. I want to show you a couple of truths. Then said Jesus unto 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered. Now Peter spoke for the group. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of living God. Now notice here that Peter, even though he wasn't perfect, knows a couple things. Now pay attention to this very carefully. I've had a couple situations in the past where somebody has done something very offensive. And I've had someone within the church say this. Did you go ask them if they'd come back? And they want me to ask them come back on the terms, their terms. That they come back just as they are without dealing with the matter at hand. That would accomplish nothing. What we need to understand, and even though Peter wasn't perfect, now I want you to know something. Jesus gives a choice. He doesn't make any of you stay. If you're going to be a part of his work, it's because you love him, because he loved you. If you're going to be a part of it, it's because you believe the truth. Now notice here that he spoke words, Peter spoke, and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now he believed that. He believed that Jesus was the only place that we could find eternal life. How many of you believe that? Well, somebody answered me this. Why is it more important to take your kids out to a little league game, basketball game, Why is it important to take them out running here and there and the other place on Sunday rather than have them Sunday school? If you believe this is a source of eternal life. Rick was talking about earlier, people believing what you say by what you do. But now notice here, Peter said, Lord, we believe this. That's why we're here. That's why we stay. Can I say this? Some people will not stay. Now listen to me. Some people can't go. There's been a change. God's done something. They never are the same person. They can't walk away. Something inside of them, the Holy Spirit of God inside them, just won't let them. And you say, well, I might walk away a little bit, but you won't stay. Something within you just won't let you walk away. But now notice this. Personally, we have to have Christ for salvation. Every person here needs Jesus. There's not a person here that don't need Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you're going to go to hell. You know, Chris got a cousin that plays in Exile. It's a band that's been playing music for 55 years. Some of you know some of the songs. Now, he was given an interview. I say this, he was given an interview. And she told me, she said, I hope that he's saved. But he was given an interview, and he's talking about at 12-year-old, he used to play the piano at Clay Hill. And the interviewer said this, said, well, did you have fun going to church? He said, Mom took me to church, but he said, she didn't take me for fun. She said, when we went to church, we believe that you either believe on Jesus, you die and go to hell. I thought, you know what? A lot of churches needed to figure out that today. The church is not for fun. It's for preaching truth. You know, several times I go around the community and I knock on doors and say, we'd like to have you come to church. They say, what you got for our kids? What entertainment you got for our kids? I said, well, I've got a message for you children. Get them saved. Oh, but we want our kids to be entertained. If you believe the truth, then your kids need truth. Not only that, but practically we need Jesus. Can you imagine going through life without Jesus? What do you lean upon? Those of you that lost loved ones, what would you have done if you couldn't believe? And you know, we've lost some good faithful people here. And what we need is some good faithful people to follow him in their footsteps. Some of you young married need to rise up and be good faithful people. You need to help. As we get older ones passing on, I was thinking Brother Junior was talking up here this morning. Brother Junior won't always be here. Soon somebody else will be there. I won't always be here. Some others won't always be here. Practically, you need Jesus. Amen. Not only that, but also prospectively. What's your future going to be without Jesus? What are you living for? What are you dying to? Listen to me, and let me say this, I'll close. To stay takes a conscious choice. You have to decide. It takes being informed. You need to understand what truth is, and you need to believe upon truth. How many of you believe the truth? You got to make a deliberate choice. Chris and I decided a long time ago that we would come, be faithful church. Our kids, it was an option. Somebody said, well, I don't make my kids. I hear it all the time. I don't make my kids come. I don't make my kids do this. Listen, if you're letting your kids make all decisions, you're in for trouble. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't make my kids. Listen, when I grew up, I didn't have a choice. When I stayed home, castor oil and Epsom salts. You say, well, what if you wasn't sick? Well, if I pretend to be sick, castor oil, Epsom salts. And I decided it was easier to come to church. Because if I wasn't sick, by the time I took those two things, I was sick. And the point of the matter is this. Now, stay with me a minute. And you know, I believe this. I believe that the reason why my daughter and son's here today is because when they were growing up, they didn't have a choice either. But they got old enough, then they started making their own choices. You know, some of their choices I wasn't all that happy about. They probably haven't been that happy with some of my choices. But you know what? I saw there was something there that kept them coming back. Amen. And now it's good to see them taking a little roll. But see, it's a deliberate choice. You have to make that decision. You will not, now listen to me. Jesus will not wake you up, drag you here in the parking lot, drag you through those doors, and drag you into your seat. Somebody said, well, preacher, I just can't get up. How many of you start your job and go to your job at 10 o'clock in the morning? That kind of sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? Now listen to me a minute. It's a deliberate choice. Now some people may. But my point is this. My point is that what we have to do is this. We have to make deliberate choices. Where are we going to be? What are we going to do? Jesus said, he looked at his disciples, he said, y'all going to go also? They could have went. He could have batted 1,000. Everybody been gone, all 5,000 plus the disciples. But Peter spoke up. He said, Lord, where do we go? Everything that we built, everything that we built, everything that we said, everything we trusted is right here with you. Where do we go? And so what I want you to understand is this. It's a costly choice too. Because it will cost you something. You say, well, everybody else is running up the road and doing this and going and doing that and doing that. It costs you something. But those are choices we make. And so Jesus here, he didn't run after the 5,000 and beg them to come in. He told the truth, and people who wanted to believe the truth made choices for themselves. And that's what you have to do. Amen. And so this morning, let me ask you this. Have you ever been saved? If you're going to get saved, it's because you've got to believe who Jesus is. These people said, well, tell us what we'll do, what we need to do, and we'll do it. He said, okay, let me tell you the truth. They couldn't handle truth. He said, let me tell you, I'm Son of God. I came down from heaven. I'm going to die. I'm going to die for your sins, and I'm going to be buried. I'm going to resurrect. I'm going to ascend back up into heaven where I came from. They said, oh, he claims to be Son of God. He said, now what you got to do is you got to believe upon me. You got to believe in what I'm doing, who I am. They didn't like that at all. And he said, let me tell you something else. You can't come unto me unless the Father draw you. Amen. You may be here this morning and God is drawing you. You need to come. Maybe you're here and you are saved and there's things God spoke to you in your life. You need to come.